Today, as we come to the table,
I thought, hey, I can talk in front of people. And, you know, sometimes I can tell a joke, a little funny from time to time, right? So God can use that. God's not impressed. God is not impressed with me at all. As a matter of fact, what I've come to learn is God is going, oh boy, I can use him anyway. That's what I think that really the sentiment from heaven is, I can use him anyway. But I think that when God gets us to a place to where we're so broken down in our own abilities and our own strength, trying to make things happen or do whatever and have our timing, that's when God can really begin to use us.
Pastor Mark today will be telling you about the call Moses received to save the people of Israel. It didn't exactly start out well. Moses actually killed someone in the process. But did that disqualify him from being used by God? Not at all. And your past doesn't disqualify you either. But God needs to be the one to tell you when and where your ministry begins. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. You have unique gifts and talents that can be used by God to make a great impact in this world. But the calling to do ministry needs to come from God, and He needs to be the one guiding the ministry. It's not up to you to make ministry happen. With that being said, turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 2 and join Pastor Mark as he begins his message in his time.
We're up to verse 11 in chapter 2. Let's read it together, and then we'll kind of set the background and look at it more closely. Notice it says in verse 11 there, of chapter 2, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And so he looked this way and he looked that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? And he said, well, who made you a prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And so Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard of the matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. In his time, you ever feel that God has called you to something, but every time you try, it fails? See, a lot of you guys are kind of giggling and laughing on the inside, because that's the experience for probably every believer at some time in your life. It's going to happen. You just have this knowing in your heart that God's called me to do this. I'm supposed to do this, but it's like, it's not happening. Why is it not happening? Well, Moses had the same thing, and this is what's so great about reading the Bible and reading all the characters of the Bible. They go through the same stuff that we go through. You know, when I read the Bible and I look at these guys, they have the same lives we have. There's nothing different about it, and yet they just submitted themselves to the Lord, and God used them in powerful ways. Moses was just like that, and we have to understand the same way that Moses needed to understand that learning to wait is not only a part of this world, but it's a part of God's world as well. Waiting is just part of it. Now, we probably know that. We've probably heard that before. But it's only real when you really have to wait. And you're really waiting on something that you either want really badly, or especially something like Moses had here, where he knows that God's called him. He's like, I know you've called me, God. And I don't know why I'm having to wait so long. What's going on? And so we have to learn to wait. And so what God does is God has to teach us to wait. And I think it's even harder for us. I may be wrong on this. We may get to heaven and find out that this wasn't the case at all, because we're really alike in every generation. We have the same, you know, desires and the same emotions and the same hearts. But living in the society we live in today, we have gotten pretty spoiled by getting things pretty quick. I mean, really, we live in a society that has never existed until the last couple of generations ever on the earth in these areas. That is, we can overnight things. We can go to drive-up windows and get it right then. We can fax it to somebody. We can email it. Now, as you guys know, now you've got the text thing, and it's back and forth. I mean, everything is almost so instant that whenever we have to wait, there's a frustration level that comes in, because we've been trained that let's have it now. And especially if you come out of the business world, if it's not now, then forget it. It's got to be done now. I am sorry. God just doesn't play that game. He just doesn't. God is patient. He takes his time. Now, he moves when he needs to move. And what I found about God is that when it's time to move, he oftentimes moves very quickly. Have you noticed that? You can wait for years and years on something, and something you've waited on so long, overnight he does it. So God does overnight stuff to us, don't get me wrong. But it comes after a long wait, and it's not on our timetable. This is a lesson that Moses had to learn, and he's going to learn whether he wants to or not. And the hard thing is, it's a lesson that we've got to learn. Now notice this about Moses, and God has really used Moses to minister to me in my life because I'm a rather impatient person. And I think that even if we didn't have the culture that had all the email and the facts, my personality is such that I want it right now. I have a very driven personality, and I'll be the type that if I'm on a project and I really want to get it done, I just won't stop until it's done, and to the point of almost, you know, physically ill. It's not always bad, and it's not always good, because God can take that. If you've got that kind of personality, you know what I'm talking about. God can take that, and God can do things with you that he can't do with some people because you're so driven. At the same time, it's also a personality that can kill you and others around you. There's got to be some level of saying, all right, I can just take a break. It's okay to sleep. And so I kind of see Moses with this type of personality in some degree in this, only because of the way he reacts to this whole situation here. But what we're going to see with Moses is Moses was the right man with the right call ahead of God. Hear that again. The right man with the right call, but moving ahead of God. And what Moses is going to find out is, although he can't stand it, he's got to go, 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 now, now, now. God's going to let him go, now. But God's going to let him totally fail. And why would God let him go, now, and totally fail? Because he's got to realize, Moses, I have called you. The call's on your life. I've given you this, but you're not ready. The preparation work is not done. But I can't stop you because of your personality and your drive. You're going to do it. And so I'm going to let you fail, and you're going to fail terribly, and then you're going to just kind of give up, and then I'm going to be able to get you back on my timetable and work this thing to where I want it to be. See, Moses was trying to do the work of God in his own strength and his own time. God doesn't play that game either, and I've learned that the hard way. So many expectations I had when I stepped out in the ministry, how quickly things would happen, what God was going to do, the giftings that God would use this and use there, and the people that God would bring to go alongside, and all these things I thought God would do. And God has done everything that he wanted to do. But it's not everything that I expected or thought that God would do, or even, I think one of the hardest things that a lot of the Calvary Chapel pastors face, I look back over the years now, and we go to the conferences and we hear the different guys say, a lot of the guys go out and they have this expectation of what God's going to do. And when God doesn't do it the way they think, well, I must not be called. Or whatever the case might be. No, not necessarily. God gives the call, but God is the one who holds his hand on the timing of that call. And I want to encourage you guys. God has called every one of you in here for some specific call. We all minister. But there's some specific call God's given you. But you're going to have to learn to wait on God's timing and to do it in God's strength, because two things will happen. There won't be fruit from it if you're trying to do it, and you won't have the strength for it if you're not in God's timing, because God gives the power when we need it. And so it will always end in failure, and it always has to be in God's time and in God's strength. And again, Moses, God had to let him fail. You know, when they teach lifeguards that when people are drowning, you just kind of have to let them drown almost before you go after them. You know, the natural reaction when you see someone drowning, I would think, would be dive in the water and get them. And if it was your own child, that's what you would do. Whether you knew it was right or not, you would do that. That's the wrong thing to do. Did everybody know that? If they're really drowning and they're strong, if it's a child, that's the right thing to do. You can overpower them. If it's a grown man, maybe even a grown woman, if she's pretty strong, you're supposed to let them, if they're really flailing, you're supposed to let them really just get so weak they can't fight anymore. And just before they go under, you go and get them. Why? Because many people have drowned over the years because they've jumped ahead too soon when the timing wasn't right, and the person pulled them down in their panic, and they both died. This is really a picture of what God's having to do in Moses. Moses needs to lose everything that's in Moses. You know, one of the songs we sang tonight said, I have nothing to offer and nothing to give. And we even practicing that tonight. That was just in my heart. I was like, amen to that. I have finally come to the place I know that I have nothing to offer God. I used to think I did. I really did. I used to think I had something to offer God. I thought, hey, I can talk in front of people. And, sometimes I can tell a joke, a little funny from time to time, right? So God can use that. God's not impressed. God is not impressed with me at all. As a matter of fact, what I've come to learn is God is going, oh boy, I can use him anyway. That's what I think that really the sentiment from heaven is. I can use him anyway. But I think that when God gets us to a place to where we're so broken down in our own abilities and our own strength, trying to make things happen or do whatever and have our timing, that's when God can really begin to use us. But the problem is, usually by the time we get there, we're about to go under. We're flailing and we're like, okay, that's it, Lord. And what's interesting, when you look at Moses' life, God made Moses wait so long because Moses was so sure he could do it. You know, Moses, you look at Moses' life, Moses was raised in a very privileged position. He had the best education the world could offer. If there was a Cambridge or Harvard of that day, and there was, by the way, they actually had a name for the university in Egypt that was world-renowned, the greatest possible education you could have, Pharaoh's family had. And so you would come out of that education with your piece of paper and you think, man, I'm the cream of the crop. I'm the one that everyone's going to want to be hiring. I'm already in line for it to be the Pharaoh, you know, and I've got all this, you know, finances and all this backing me. How can God work with that? If the person makes it through that and has some level of humility, God has somewhere to start. But if somebody thinks they're about something, as the Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. God can't use it. He can't. So God has to let us flail and fight and kick and bite and try and all this and finally get to the point to where that's it. We say we're going to give up. And suddenly when we have no more strength, this strong arm lifts us up out of the water, puts us on the boat and says, now we're ready. And we're there all humbled and wet with our tail between our legs going, I really thought I could do that. No. But I had you, I knew you couldn't the whole time. But I had to teach you that you couldn't. And so it takes some of us longer to get to there than others. It really depends on how strong you are in thinking you can do stuff as to how quickly God can get you where you are and God, you know, where he wants you to be and use you. And you think, man, you mean Moses, this mighty prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets to ever live, also had a problem with thinking he could do it and getting out of God's timing, not being really in God's timing on this thing? Absolutely. Which means if Moses can, we can, doesn't it? You know, Moses was a man called of God since he was a baby. Think about that. God called him. I mean, he was called from the womb he was. And he was called. He was going to do what God called him to do. You know, one of the scriptures that really has been ministering to me lately is that God has foreordained everything in advance we're going to do. Think about that. Now, if I really believe that, why am I striving? If you really believe that God has foreordained everything that you're going to do for him in the kingdom, what would be the point of striving for something? Now, being diligent. Whole different ballgame. Diligence is our part. Being in the Word, being in prayer, make sure that the phone calls are made, make sure that we do everything we can so God doesn't say, you know, I'd like to have done that, but you didn't do your part, and so because you weren't diligent, you missed out. No, I want to make sure I'm diligent. So when I talk about waiting on God and being patient, I'm not talking about lazy. Lazy is horrible. A lack of diligence is horrible. I'm talking about being diligent, but at the same time saying, you know what, God, you've done it all in advance. I just have to walk in it. And I think the second hardest thing there, that's the first thing you have to learn. I think the second hardest thing is saying, well, what if God's call for me is not as big as I'd like it to be? I think they call that pride. So God says, well, let me let you get humble for a while. So you see, you're not as big as you think you are or that you should be. And you think that this should happen or that in your life. And then I'll use you. But it's up to me how I use you. You just be available. You be humble. You let me glorify my name through you, and I'm going to do it. And so he was called from the time he was a baby. Simply being the right man with the right call wasn't enough. He was the right man. He did hear the call. That was all in place. But he had to wait till God had him ready and God had the situation ready. Notice there's two factors in ministry. One is God has to prepare the man or the woman, okay? And the second thing is God has to prepare the situation. It's got to be ready. You know, you may be as an Olympian, you may be ready. You're there at the track. You know, you've been training for all this time for this event in the Olympics. You're ready to go. There's nothing more you could do to be ready, but it's another 30 minutes before that gun goes off. So what do? You have to wait. You have to stand there and wait. But I'm ready. I'm ready now. I'm strong. I've trained. I'm ready. Yeah, but it's not, the race isn't ready. So just take a break, you know, just relax a little bit. In a minute, we'll tell you when it's ready. And so that's what it's like in ministry. We do everything we can to get prepared. Our preparation is time in the Word, time in prayer, time in serving and ministry. But God's timing is when is it time to do it? Because if we get ahead of God, like Moses got ahead of God, we try to do it in our own strength, and it can only be done in God's power. Here's another verse that God has used in my life in huge ways, and You probably know that because you probably heard me say it all the time. But Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, God's not going to let any man get the glory. He's just not going to share it. And so we have to learn that our strength isn't going to do it. Our problem is we often try to do things in our might and in our power. It's never going to work. And the purposes of God can only be accomplished by his might, his power, and his spirit. So the preparation time, the timing is everything. And so that's important. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean we can't be serving. Now, don't get the mindset, all right, Mark said that we need to wait on God's timing for our call, so I'm not going to serve anywhere and I'm just going to wait. That's not what God's saying here. That's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches us to bloom where we're planted. And what that means is, whether you're really fulfilling your complete call that God has given you or not, whether you're really mature enough or ready to go, serve. Be about the business of the Father. When they found Jesus at 12 years old, what did he say to his mom and dad? They said, where have you been? We were worried to death. You know, I had to be about my Father's business. Here's a 12-year-old. I had to be about my Father's business. We should be about our Father's business, guys. That's what we're called to do. So don't think that means we don't, you know, serve the Lord. It just means that we may not have our specific God-prepared call until God's proper time. Ecclesiastes 3:11. I love this verse. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And not until then. God has a timing for everything. The hard part for us is understanding that time and being able to wait for it. And this was hard for Moses as well. So that's encouraging to me and should be encouraging to you guys. And sometimes the wait can actually be a real stumbling block. And you know, when you wait so long, you think, I know God said this. I know he said it. And time goes by. A week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years. I know God said this. That can be a stumbling block. If we really believe in our heart God said it, we still have to wait longer. And this is amazing to me. When you think about Moses' life, Moses was so stumbled by the weight that he had because he knew that God had told him he was called to do this. He knew in his heart he was called. How do we know that? Because he said that he thought they would know. We'll see that in just a moment in another scripture. But so much so for Moses that by the time God tells him, all right, Moses, now it's time. By the time we see Moses, when this is all done, 40 years later, from the time Moses is doing this now, can you imagine missing your call by 40 years too early? You talk about having to wait. That's almost depressing. I had 40 years to wait. And that's why I go to God and say, I don't have that long. I'll be dead probably. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'll make it 40 years, you know, but God knows that. And God will time our call with how long he needs to preparation to do what he wants to do. And you know what? God can do a lot in a short amount of time. You know, if you have a dull axe and you try to whack on trees, I've done that before. Try to cut them down. You're like beating the thing. It's like beating it with a hammer. You know, it makes a good thud, but that's it. You get something really sharp, two or three whacks, you're like, man, this is the way to go. That's what the believer is like, that God has molded and shaped over all the years. And when it's time for that axe to hit its place, hit its mark, the tree will come down very rapidly. God will complete the work he wanted to do, but sometimes it takes a lot of prep. And a lot of us, like me, take a lot more prep. And so Moses had a lot of prep work to do, but it's amazing to me, and this is encouraging to me, because Moses, again, the stumbling block for Moses was it took so long for this to come to pass. Get this. By the time that God had Moses where he wanted Moses to be, Moses didn't even want to do the call anymore, and he didn't have the strength to do it, he said. I don't have the strength. I'm too old, and I don't even want to do it anymore. And the sad thing is that's usually when God can do his greatest work for the type of personality that thinks they can do it. Now, that may not be true for everybody, but most of us. If we think there's something we can do, God has let us come to the place to where we know we can't. And when you look at Moses' life, it is truly a testimony of how God works and how we need to learn to wait. Get this. 40 years he was trained. His life is broken up into three sections of 40 as we get into Moses. Now, again, none of us in this room, probably none of us in this room will live to be 120. There are people today that still live that old. I think there's somebody 130 right now or something. So people do still live that old. And by the way, I think it's a lady in Israel or something. She drinks a glass of, I think an 8-ounce glass of olive oil every day. And everybody around them start drinking that or something. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm not saying that's what made her get to 120 to 130, but that's pretty, you know, all the parts are well lubed. I can tell you that. So she's running good. But Moses' life here, three groups of 40. And for 40 years, he was trained up in the ways of, and the wisdom of the world. Pharaoh's household, the best universities you could give him. He had the highest degrees and the best universities. And how do we know that? Because that's what the Pharaohs did with their kids. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically what his education was, But that's, it just tells us he was well educated. That's what you did. This was the most powerful nation in the world, and this was a pharaoh. It would be like a king. It's not even like a president today. This is a king, and this is the king's kid. So the best education that you could possibly get. Did that for 40 years. No wonder he thought he was ready. Now, the next phase of his life, phase number two, he had 40 more years. God took him to the backside of the desert to get the world out of him and to teach him how to walk by the Spirit. Think of that. He learned how to get things done in the world, and God said, that's great, but I can't use you until you learn how to get things done in the Spirit. You know, just getting a degree in Bible college and going and standing behind a pulpit doesn't make you an effective pastor. You've got a piece of paper. I love the story about the young pastor that got up in the pulpit, and he got his degree, and he was ready. It was his first time, you know, true story. And it was his first time teaching. He was all excited. He graduated the top of his class, and he was ready. He gave his message. It was a total flop, complete flop. And he just, you know, came up real happy, ready to go, excited. And he went out just so depressed and broken and ran to the back and kind of disappeared. And there was an old woman in the congregation that said, you know what? If he had come in the way he went out, he would have gone out the way he came in. And that's a lesson for us. It's not saying, I can do this. I'm ready. Come on. You know, and that's really what our society teaches, isn't it? I can do this. I, on a regular basis now, say, I can't do this. But I'm not going to quit because I know I'm called. I'm not adequate for this. Who is? This is your word, God. What am I supposed to do? I just try to present it and pray that you'll take it by your Spirit and anoint it and put it in people's heart. And that's all we're to do. And whatever your call is, mine happens to be a pastor, but whatever your call is, that's what you do. It's not your responsibility to make it effective. Now, you need to be in the word and prayer and seeking the Lord, and you need to be walking with God. You know, you can't just live a life of sin and expect God to use you, because he won't. But at the same time, it's God that does the work. God has to do it. Moses now had to spend 40 more years in the backside of the desert, and I jokingly call this his BSD degree. He got all his other degrees from the worldly universities, so to speak. Now he gets his BSD, the backside of the desert. And that's where Moses had to unlearn everything he'd learned, thinking he was about something, so that God could finally use him. And the last section of his life is when his ministry started. As you guys know, at 80 years old, man, what a time to start a ministry. He was finally ready after 40 more years in the back of the desert for what God had called him to do, and it was leading the children of Israel to freedom from Egypt to the promised land of God. This was a powerful ministry God gave him. It's also interesting that in the preparation to God, you know, time that God gave him here, God took him to the very place he'd be leading the children of Israel for the next 40 years. You ever think about that? God took Moses out in the wilderness. That's the area that he led them for the next 40 years. He knew that area. Moses had to go there first before he could take anybody else. Here's my point. When God is preparing you for ministry, if you're going to be able to minister to men or to women or to children or to whoever you're ministering to, God's got to take you there first, so that he can minister to them through you. And I found over the years in many of the situations, I didn't notice it at first, but I'm starting to recognize it now. Some of the things that God sends Tracy and I through are so we can lead you guys through it. I honestly believe now that some of the tests and trials we go through, we don't necessarily need for what God wants to do in our life. But we need it for what God wants us to understand about your life. How am I going to know what you feel like if I'm never depressed? If you fight with depression, how am I going to know if I never taste that?
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what he does through his people and for his people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.